This passage, Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1, going down to verse number 13, deals with a very familiar Bible topic, actually two familiar Bible topics. Number one, it deals with temptation. And everybody that's here this morning has had to deal with temptation. Number two, it deals with walking in or being filled with the Spirit. Both of these go hand in hand. You cannot deal with temptation properly unless you are walking in the Spirit. You cannot walk in the Spirit while you are yielding to temptation. So they go hand in hand. We need the Spirit to have victory. We need victory to continue walking in the Spirit. The summary of this section of the Scripture, I would give this as a question. Do we follow God filled with the Spirit, or do we follow temptations filled with our flesh? Do we follow God filled with the Spirit, or do we follow temptation filled with the flesh? And anybody that has yielded to temptation knows what it is, I believe, to follow temptation. But sometimes it becomes visualized for us in a way that perhaps just grips our minds. We were watching a movie called Click Clack Jack. It's a Christian film made church in Florida, I think, put it together. And it shows a railroad conductor and what he does to reach out to love a man that everybody else rejects. And even when everybody else is blaming this man that is found on the railroad tracks as hobo, everybody is blaming this hobo for a theft that took place. This man, Click Clack Jack, continues to believe the best about this man and to reach out to love him and to help him. And in so doing, they're able to solve whatever it is that they need to for finding the money that was stolen. Well, in that, there is a humorous little scene where this man wants to get into a house, but there's two bodyguards standing outside. And so he gets there, and these two bodyguards are your typical slapstick bodyguards. And they're standing there, they're serious as they can be. But when Clickback Jack comes up and asks to go into the house, they say, I can't do it, can't do it. Well, he opens up this bag of fudge that his aunt, Josephine, had made. And he takes a bite and and then he kind of waves it by their nose. And you can watch as he does this that he goes by their noses and their faces go like this as he goes back and forth. What are they doing? They're following temptation. You've smelled something sometimes and followed your nose to it. Sometimes you've seen something you wanted and followed your eyes to it. That little scene illustrates to me what it is to follow temptation, allowing my body to be led not by the Spirit of God or the instruction of God, but to be led by some physical thing that my body desires, such that I can almost sway back and forth to it because of the power that item has over my life. And everybody's thing would be different that might control us or draw us. But the Bible doesn't deal specifically with any one of our temptations that we're dealing with, maybe specific physical things. It deals with the overall matter of temptation and how to deal with it. We all face temptation, but this text, beginning in verse number 1, deals with the way that we walk into temptations. The Bible says, "But Jesus," and Jesus, "being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was," what? Look at these words, "led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Now, what's going to happen in the wilderness? Jesus is about to be tempted. How did Jesus get to the place of temptation? He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, did God not know what was about to happen? The God who knows all things? Didn't God know that when Jesus got into that wilderness and began a period of fasting for 40 days, that the devil was going to come and to tempt him? Didn't God know? So why would the Spirit of God lead him into a place that temptation would be? We note these things about when we follow the Spirit into a wilderness where we might be tempted. Where the Spirit leads, there is great power for victory. Wherever the Spirit leads, He leads you with the power for victory. Now the Spirit, when it works in our lives and leads us into a place like the wilderness, we're going to see about Jesus Christ here in just a moment, He leads us into difficulty or into a wilderness for the very purpose of drawing us closer to God. You want to look at this in James chapter number 1, you see the very same principles being displayed as we'll see here in Luke chapter 4. But the Bible says that while in difficulty, our flesh often wants relief. How many of you have ever had a boss that was rough and you just wanted to get out from under that boss? Had a pressing payment on you and you wanted to get out from under that payment? When sin comes into our life and begins to draw us, sometimes we want to get away from that source of temptation, and sometimes we feel like the only way to get rid of the temptation is to give in. You know what? I keep seeing that cake sitting there, and if I walk past that cake, I'm just going to eat that silly thing and rid myself of temptation. And you know what? Once you eat the cake, guess what? Temptation's gone, but you haven't won, have you? Now, when the Spirit leads us somewhere, as the Spirit leads, there is power right there with Him for victory, even if where the Spirit leads, there is temptation or difficulty that would try us. Now, many men, however, are led differently than Jesus Christ. Many men. I'm not saying all, and I'm not saying you are, but at one point in your life, you have been led of your flesh. And when men are led of their flesh, they walk purposefully into temptation. Where the flesh leads, we will always lack power, and there is almost certain defeat. How many of you, I mean, this, you don't have to raise your hand, but think, how many of you know what your flesh wants? How many of you know what your flesh wants? Now, I've tried to help my children in the last 4 years, and I've been here 6 years. I've been trying to help my children since we moved here to begin to discern what is their flesh. Does that make sense? I have no taste for alcohol. Don't have any desire. The smell of it is awful. The thought of what it could do to me just makes me angry. I don't have any taste for that stuff. Now, I might be able to create a taste for it. I don't know. Some people say if you drink it long enough, you can begin to like it. I really don't know. That is not the temptation. I don't know that the devil has ever tried to reach me with that temptation. That is not my flesh weakness as it stands today. Now, I don't say I couldn't. Please don't misunderstand me. Every sin that there is, any man is capable of. All right? But I'm saying that is not my temptation. But there are some things that are. Do you know what yours are? Do you know where your weaknesses lie? As I watch different people, some people struggle to relate with other people because they always want to lose themselves in a book. Now, the Bible says I'm supposed to love others. You say, yes, I understand that. But if I can't love others because I'm always in a book, that book is part of my flesh. It is part of my gods in my life. Does that make sense? If there's something that keeps me from doing what God says, I've got to recognize that there is this draw that could keep me. I like technology, and I like it a lot. I try not to spend a lot of time with it, but it always draws me. Now, are there things that I should be doing instead of fiddling with technology? Yeah, there are. You know, there are some things, when we go somewhere, I don't really struggle to put down a lot of sweets. It didn't. You know what? If they're there, I just don't care. But it is somewhat of a battle for me to leave alone salty things. I know my flesh. So if I go to a dinner, and I eat all the salty things, and then stand back and look at everybody and go, well, you all ought to be careful about how much sweets you eat, because you know what? We shouldn't be gluttonous. Now, I might look like I've got conquering power over sweets, but it's not tempting me, because it's not in my flesh to long for it like that. So sometimes we get a cocky attitude as believers because we don't understand our own flesh. Why is it that I fall where I fall is because of my flesh? You need to know your flesh, because when your flesh is leading you, you will know where it is going, and you need to make a choice about it. Where does flesh take you? It usually takes you to indulgence. Now, what is temptation? You can walk into it by the Spirit leading and there be temptation there, or you can walk into it because your flesh says, you know what, I'm kind of interested in some cookies. And so I say to myself, self, there are cookies in the cupboard. I'm just going to go look at them. You know, I'm not going to eat them. I think if I were just to see them, it would probably help calm me down. So I walk over to the cupboard. I open up the cupboard and I say, yeah, cookies. Yeah. Well, now I know that they're really close and accessible. And so I go back one more time. Hey, you know what? I know sometimes you can stop a hunger pain if you just kind of smell it. You know, sometimes I'll come in and I'll feel satisfied just smelling my wife's cookies. I'm just going to open up that bag, you know, cupboard, and pull out the bag and open up. Yeah. I think that'll pretty well take care of my flesh. But the problem is, the nose is connected with the taste buds. And so maybe what I would do, maybe, you know, sometimes those cookies in the bag, they break apart. And I'm not going to eat a whole cookie. But if I were to tip the bag just right, maybe some crumbs would come out. And then, you know, crumbs don't have calories. Crumbs aren't really cookies. Crumbs are just, you know, crumbs. So if I get some of those out, I might be able to satisfy myself without actually indulging in a cookie. And then, 20 minutes later, my wife comes home. There I am with only crumbs left and an empty cookie bag. Why is that? Because when I'm standing over here, I followed not the spirit over to the cabinet. I followed my flesh over to the cabinet. And I know that when I follow my flesh, there is going to be at the end of that indulgence. What is temptation? Number one, temptation is spiritual warfare. That's what we're dealing with here, beginning in chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, if that's really true, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest that any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him. Did you catch these last words that I had not seen before? For a season. Number one, temptation is spiritual warfare. Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. There in the wilderness, while he was fasting those 40 days, he was met by the devil. Is the devil a human, a man like we are? No, he is in the spiritual realm. So when he was in the wilderness, led there by the Spirit, does the devil like for us to follow the Spirit of God and to obey him? No. So the devil finds one walking in the Spirit, and he comes to seek to take him out of the Spirit, to take him away from God. It is a spiritual warfare that we are in. The Bible says, like a roaring lion, the devil walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I think you understand this. Temptation is felt in our flesh. It's sometimes in our tongue. Sometimes in our eyes, the Bible says the eyes of men are never satisfied. They're never full. They're never content. Why? Because there's always more my flesh, my eyes would like to see. Ears are part of our flesh. They're the members of our body, and they always want more. Physical touch is a member of the body. And the Bible says it's good that a man should not touch a woman, not his wife, but any other woman. Why? Because the Bible knows that physical, the things that are physical, are never satisfied. You can satisfy your soul with Jesus Christ, but you cannot satisfy your body with anything here. Gambling is one of those things that people try to do to satisfy urges and cravings in their body. And you know what? It never works. You know why it's addictive? Because the flesh continues to crave more of the excitement and the anticipation that something like that brings. Victory, if it is felt in our flesh, Bible says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. So I feel temptation in my body because of what my flesh wants. But victory is gained when I yield to God's Spirit. For successful deliverance from temptation, we can't lose sight of this truth that temptation is spiritual and not physical. So this morning, I want you to understand as we leave this morning, we're not dealing with the question, am I strong enough to face temptation? You're not. Have I resisted enough to now go out and not worry about it? That's not the question. We're not asking, can my flesh withstand the temptation? Can I be strong enough to endure the temptation? Instead, we're asking, where am I going to yield? To the Spirit of God or to the temptation, my flesh? We're not asking this morning about physical ability. We're asking about spiritual reliance. There is not one person in this room that is physically able to deny their own flesh on and on and on. The only thing that is available to us is the victory that comes through the Spirit. So the question this morning is, where is my faith? Temptation is a spiritual warfare. Number two, temptation is a specific warfare. The devil isn't wasting any time tempting you or tempting me with things that don't affect us. Does that make sense? He's looking for someone to devour. So he's not coming to me with things that don't bother me. Nobody's walking up to the house and saying, hey, would you like a drink? There isn't anybody coming to my house asking me if I want to smoke. The stuff stinks so bad to my nose, I can't stand to be around it. Nobody's asking me if I want to join them with those things. But you know what? The devil isn't trying that because he knows it's not working on me. He knows the things that my flesh already wants, so he is working through those. Like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. But can I state this morning, and I think you would agree, every man in the physical realm has a price. Every man in the physical realm has a price. To say this is that I mean this. Since I am tempted when I am drawn away of my own lusts, then the principle at hand is you simply need to offer my flesh what it wants often enough and I will eventually take it. Does that make sense? Every man in the physical realm. Now, as a child of God, you have something beyond the physical realm. You can deny your flesh if you follow the Spirit. But the devil knows, if I go into the grocery store, and there's something there I want that I'm not supposed to have, and I walk by it one time and say, nope, don't have money today, not going to buy it. It's not going to be off the shelf. Did you know that? The next time I walk by there, it's still going to be there. And it's going to be in front of me every time I go there. Why? Because the devil knows every man has a price. If you offer enough time or offer enough of it, video was done by a man, Living Word. Can't remember. He and Kirk Cameron have gotten together and have done a television show, The Way of the Master. And it is a street preaching, street witnessing, where they share the law of God to bring people to the Son of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Very, very powerful television program. I've seen some of the videos that they have produced. This man did a video, and in one of the videos he does everything live on camera with people with microphones, just fix their eyes, their face, ask the questions. He asked people these questions. Would you, for $1 million, if you could be guaranteed you'd never be caught, if a woman asked you to drop some arsenic in her husband's drink so that it would kill him, would you do it if you could be guaranteed to never be caught? You know, a lot of people said yes. A lot of people said, and he went over and over. So you're willing to kill somebody for $1 million? Yeah. If you could break into Fort Knox, you know, you live right next door to it. You could break into it while the gold was still there. I don't even know who got gold there now. We've devalued our monetary system so much. But you could live next door to it. You could get in. You could have all that was there. You would never get caught. Would you do it? The answer was yes. For that much money, I'd get some friends and we'd go and do it together. Now, some, if you were to ask them, would you kill your neighbor? Well, no. I wouldn't kill my neighbor. Would you do it for $1 million if you'd never get caught? Sure. I mean, almost like that, they turned from no to yes. Why? Because every man has a price, and the devil knows that. Every man in the physical realm, please, understand me, has a price. You don't need to have that price in your head anymore. Because through Christ, there's victory over every temptation. And the devil can bring it, and the devil can bring it, but we only follow it when we're following our lust, not when we're following the Spirit. There is victory for the child of God. The Bible says that there is specific temptation. Flesh cannot conquer the specific temptations. The Bible says this, when the devil came, he said, if thou be the Son of God. He didn't say, if you're Pastor Hadley, did he? Why didn't he do that? Because he wasn't talking to Pastor Hadley. He was talking to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son. And so when he came, he said, if thou be, and he didn't say, make yourself a Lamborghini and let's see it drive. Why not? There were no Lamborghinis, number one. But Jesus was hungry, right? He had been fasting. So when the devil came, he came with specific temptation. You ought to know as well in your body where your weaknesses are. And you know what? You can care for some of those weaknesses. But Jesus, being led of the Spirit, was now in a place of hungering. And the devil came with a specific temptation. The Bible says again, when the devil came to him, if you want, he said, if you would see all these things that are here, if you would simply bow to me, I could give you all the kingdoms of the world. Now, didn't God already own all the kingdoms of the world? But in the flesh, Jesus Christ did not have control over all those things yet. What needed to happen before he would be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as it were, after his death? He died, was buried, rose again, and then he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. With God, there is a cross to bear before the crown they will wear. All right? Now, is it Jesus? Yes. He is God. It is his. But he did not have control over all of that as a man in that fashion, did not have control over all of those things. Now, as God, he did. But the devil comes and says, would you like to get all this without going through the cross? The Bible says again at the end of this section, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God. He kept coming at Jesus with something specific toward him. Satan's going to come to you sometimes to prove yourself. Do you know that there are battles in homes, husbands and wives, because a wife or a husband will not submit where they're supposed to, submitting yourselves one to another, because they want to prove themselves. I'm nobody's doorstep. The Bible says submitting yourself. Sometimes that means you're going to feel like a doorstep. Sometimes you're going to put yourself and lay yourself down to serve somebody else, even as Jesus Christ laid himself down. Sometimes the devil is going to come to you to provide for your own wants instead of waiting for God to provide it. If you would like this now, Jesus, simply bow. The devil is going to come and raise doubts, as he did. He said this, doesn't the Bible say that his angels shall have charge over thee and keep thee? And in their hands they shall bear the other foot. Just jump off of this thing and see what God will do. If you're the Son of God, nothing can happen to you. Number one, it is spiritual warfare. Temptation is specific warfare. And number three, temptation is seasonal warfare. Seasonal warfare. Would you look again at verse number 13? The Bible says, and when the devil had, what's the next word? And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him, there's those three words I mentioned earlier, for a season. Look again at verse number 2 in the same chapter. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Often temptation comes when our flesh is at its weakest point. You know, sometimes God is going to take you to your weakest point. Sometimes you're going to be foolish and bring yourself to that point. But it leaves, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will. You know, I had never connected those verses, that verse in James, to this verse here in Luke. But I used to think that, so if the devil comes and I resist to serve God, the devil just disappears and I'm done with it. And he may come again later. The Bible says the devil began a series of temptations with Jesus Christ, not just the last three that we read. This was enduring this 40-day period. And at the end of 40 days, at the end of that temptation, 40 days is a long season, isn't it? That's more than a month that Jesus was in that position, led of the Spirit to that place. The Bible says then, when the devil was done, he left him for a season. Now, when I was a young person growing up, this is the only temptation I ever saw Jesus participate in. Did you know that the devil tempted Jesus later? Didn't Pilate say, I have power to release thee? Didn't Peter say, you don't need to go to the cross, far be it from you? Didn't Peter take out a sword to defend? Couldn't he have at any moment? If he hadn't been the Son of God, my sinless Savior, yes. But weren't there temptations along the way that said, I don't have to go through this anymore? Didn't there come temptation to our Savior? Yes, there did. The Bible says in the book of John, John said it, if I could write all the things that could have been written, the earth could not contain the books that could be written about Jesus. The Bible says here we're dealing with spiritual warfare, we're dealing with specific warfare, we're dealing with seasonal warfare. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. When he finds one who has consistently submitted to Christ, he will depart for a season because he cannot devour Christ. He will come again at a time that's more appropriate when he believes that his attack will be more fruitful. It's common when we walk in our flesh to walk right toward what we want. And as we mentioned earlier, there are times that it feels like the only way to get rid of a temptation is to just give in. You know, I think maybe that might be one of the keys to what we would know in our own lives as an addiction. We can look at so many areas, and we can talk about alcoholism as an addictive thing, and maybe even a medical thing after the body gets a taste for it, I don't know. We can look at drugs as addictive in any one of their forms or fashions. We can look at pornography as addictive, and not, though not a drug, it drugs the brain of those that are engaged in it. And it is common when someone feels that temptation strongly that they feel that if I just give in this once, then the temptation, that strong urging feeling will pass and I'll be ready for the next time that temptation comes. See, it'd be better for me to yield right now and then get stronger for the next time. But yielding to the flesh does not win any spiritual battles. And you know what happens when we yield to the flesh? We lose the battle, and the devil then comes next time and says, hey. Remember last time? You gave in last time. What makes you think you're any better this time? That's right. I can't do it. There's no way I'm ever going to get victory over this thing. And it just keeps, the accuser of the brethren just keeps coming back and says, don't you remember when? How do you think you'll ever? And when he said, I'm going to walk in the Spirit, he said, nobody can walk in the Spirit. He raises all the questions and the doubts, and he brings them to our mind. It's common to feel like then, I don't have any choice. I don't have any hope. I don't have any victory that's offered to me. The devil uses our defeats, our yielding, to discourage us. But Jesus, he submitted to the Spirit of God, led there by the Spirit of God, and he walked with spiritual truth, verse 4, verse 8, and verse 12. And Satan left him three different times, three different temptations that we read about. The Bible says that the devil did not continue to press those specific temptations, because Jesus had victory with that spiritual truth. Again, please do not lose focus when we deal with temptation. Temptations are spiritual warfare. And there is no victory in spiritual warfare when you use fleshly things. Now, it's spiritual warfare. Who's fighting? God wants control of you, and the devil wants control of you. There's spiritual warfare for your physical body. Does that make sense? There is spiritual warfare waging for control over your physical body. Who do you want to control you? For God to control us, we must be people that would act by faith in some spiritual truth. All right, so what is the spiritual truths that we might gain? I just wrote down three of them, and maybe they'll be a help to you, taken out of the text that we're dealing with. Number one, truth. The physical is not enough. It's a spiritual truth. The physical is not enough. Look again, verse number 4. And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Is the physical enough to make judgments and decisions in your life? Now, was Jesus hungry? Yes or no? Yes. Did he have power to make bread? Yes or no? Yes, we saw him take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and multiply it to feed all sorts of people. He is the creator in human form. He had the power to do so. Too many people live their lives with this kind of a motto: I cannot live without, and fill in the blank. I cannot live without. Now, we might not say it, because, you know, we're mature people here. We've grown, and we know that flesh sounds so ugly as I cannot live without that, so we don't actually say it. But let me tell you, if we look at the world around us, people can find strength to take a trip to the store. People can find strength to get to a sports event. People can muster strength to get to a child's milestone event. Young people can muster strength to stay up all night for a sleepover party. They can stay up all night to play a video game and then make this kind of a statement to somebody that invites them to church. Well, you know, sometimes you got to make a choice as to what things you can have in your life. There's just not time for everything, preacher. You know, after being up so late last night, I just don't have energy for that. Until after a 20-minute cat nap, somebody calls with whatever it is that they're interested in. How many people won't drive on the roads in snow? And hey, I'm not going to blame anybody that chooses to stay home in the snow for safety. But they'll tell somebody, "I can't go to church with you this week, it's too snowy." And then next week when it's snowy, they've made it up to Indianapolis for a Colts game. You see, what we're saying is there are some things physical that guide us. Jesus said it's not enough to be guided by physical things. He said a man must be led by every word of God. Are we led by the words of God, or are we led by our flesh? Are we led by the words of God, or are we led by our flesh? 40 days Jesus had been fasting. He had to choose whether or not he was going to eat. And Jesus said, after 40 days of not eating, eating bread is not enough for me to live. There must be something more. What is greater than physical nourishment? Let me tell you this very simple truth, but as strong as physical desires are, they are not enough for you to make the choices of your life. As strong as physical desires are, they are not the foundation for the choices that we make in life. There are a lot of people who choose their music based on their own personal taste. Do you know that personal taste is not enough? I grew up listening to and enjoying a wide variety of music. I would have to call myself very cultured. I listened to Kenny Rogers. I listened to the Blackwood Brothers. I listened to Mozart. I listened to Beethoven. I went to church and I listened to people sing out of the hymn book. I listened to rock. I listened to rap. I listened to Christian rock and Christian rap. I've listened to just about any genre of music that you could think of. And you know what? My flesh enjoyed every one of them. So how do I choose what's good music? I can tell you, I don't remember ever listening to music that I said, ooh, I don't like this stuff. Why not? It's because the devil can get a hold of flesh and use it for whatever he wants to. So I couldn't look at music when I became a pastor and say, nah, we'll just have what I like because I'm a Christian. That doesn't work because my flesh is still there and it still likes a bunch of things. Some people use their flesh to decide their clothing. It's just what I like. It's my personal taste. Listen, you can't use personal taste when God has instruction out of His Word. Now, can you choose blue or orange and let it be based on your personal taste? Sure, go ahead. But the Bible gives you some instructions as to how much of your body is supposed to be covered. Did you know that? Do you know where that's found? Do you even know what it is? You need to know. Because we can't make our decisions just based on physical desire. You know, some people pick their spouse based only on eye appeal. Now, I got to be the privileged one. My wife was both beautiful and spiritual. So I got blessed with that. But you can't base your decision just on eye appeal. Why? It's just not enough. So hunger also, Jesus said, is not a good enough reason to act. I need to know God wants me to do so. Just because I'm hungry does not mean I can take that or I can make that. I need to know, is God pleased with it? Number one, spiritual truth. We're dealing here with Jesus Christ. The physical is not enough. Number two, spiritual truth. I don't need it all now. I don't need it all now. The Bible says, Satan came and said, if thou be the Son of God, or took him up onto a high mountain, said, I will give thee power and the glory, if thou wilt worship me at all, shall be thine. And Jesus' answer was this, get thee behind me, Satan. For it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I don't need it all now. Or I could say it this way, the pursuit of stuff equals the worship of stuff. The pursuit of stuff, I didn't say owning stuff. I didn't say using stuff. I didn't say having stuff given to you, and I didn't say buying stuff. I said the pursuit of stuff. Jesus, if he had acted to bow to the devil, would have been the whole purpose would be to gain something. And Jesus had just said, physical desire is not enough to make the decisions of my life. So there must be something different than those things. Now Jesus says, not only do physical desires, should they not guide my life? He said, if I am guided by those things, I'm worshiping them and I'm supposed to worship God. The devil says you can have it all now, just bow the knee. And we're told today you don't have to wait. You don't have to trust God. You don't have to endure toil. But let me tell you what God says, wait on the Lord. The just shall live by faith. The book of Hebrews says ye have need of patience, that after that ye have suffered a while, you might then afterwards receive the promise. God's word teaches, I mentioned it earlier, there's a cross to be borne before the crown can be worn. There's work before there is a paycheck. There's spiritual labor before there is spiritual fruit. The devil offered it all right now. And when the devil offers us something, it always seems like a nice path because you can get it a lot faster than the way God says you can get it. But God always has a path by which you can get the things he wants you to have. But most often that path requires some waiting. Most often that path requires prayer. Most often that path requires a toil and a trusting. You may get things quickly by serving the devil, but the payback is very costly. You may get something by serving the devil, but the payback is costly. God has a way for you to get what you need. It involves patience. It involves faith. Number one, the physical is not enough. Number two, I do not need it all now. And number three, God should be trusted and not tempted. Number three, God should be trusted and not tempted. The Bible says here, verse number 12, and Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, what did he ask him to do? Just from way up here, throw yourself off, far enough down that it would certainly be a pain to land on anything. And you know what God's going to do? He's promised to give his angels charge of things. He's going to carry you. Would God's angels have done that? Do we doubt God's promise of preservation? God has given a divine promise of preservation to his children. No one can take the life of a child of God until God says it is time. He will hold them back. He will protect them. And there are stories after stories after stories of God's people throughout the years that have endured severe trial, that have gone through great persecution, that have escaped just by the hair of their chin, as it were said. Because God said it's not time yet. But yet that same one who escaped out of difficulty, think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He laid his life down. But when they wanted to take him, they had no power over him. The Bible says they brought him up to the top of a hill where they were going to cast him off. The Bible says, love these words. And he walking through the midst of them. They got him and were taking them. The Bible says he just walked right through the midst of them. That's not just happened to our Savior. That has happened to God's people throughout the centuries. Preservation is divinely promised. Was it not seen by Daniel when he was thrown to the lions? Was it not shown by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the fire? Was it not seen by Israel standing by the water as Pharaoh's army closed in behind them? Was it not seen by Peter locked up in jail, waiting the day of his execution? The angels came by night to take him out. Was it not shown or seen by the Apostle Paul, who was left for dead, who was beaten and put into prison, and yet he continued to serve? Was it not seen? So if that's true, why don't I just jump out in front of a truck and say, God will protect me? If I walk by faith, that is following the instruction of God, the power of God will always be displayed. Daniel was praying and obeying God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were failing to bow. Peter, Paul, preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, doing what God had instructed. Israel following God out of Egypt to the place he had promised. Every time you see God's divine protection, you also have people who are walking by faith and obedience. When I walk by the flesh, and then I call for God's power to be displayed, then I am tempting God. When I walk in the flesh, and then say, oh God, show yourself! I'm tempting God, because God has already said if I would trust him, he would provide. Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Israel came upon a difficult situation and they asked this question, is God among us? But how did they not know? Was the cloud, remember the cloud by day, the fire by night? Couldn't they still see that? Why were they asking that? They didn't want to trust by faith. They wanted to see by sight. They wanted God to do something on their timetable. And God says, no, you don't call me to do it on your timetable. You trust me. Even when it takes patience, even when it takes time, even when it is difficult, you trust me. The whole thrust of Satan's temptations against Jesus Christ were to engage the flesh, rather to have one engaged by faith following the Lord. How do you have victory over temptation? Well, you know, it's not simply quoting a Bible verse. Because you know what? Some people can quote Bible verses and never trust a word of what they say. How do you have victory over temptation? It's not simply walking away from the temptation. I could do that 100 times with the cookies in the cupboard, but by the time my flesh is worn down, eventually I'm just going to eat the whole lot of it. You don't have victory simply by walking away. You don't have victory simply by quoting the Bible verse. You have victory when you trust by faith, truth of God, and walk in the Spirit instead of the flesh. You're going to feel the temptation in your flesh, but let me tell you this, the Spirit is always greater for victory over that flesh. even when you feel it strong, the impulse is great, and you feel like I could do nothing other than give in. That's not true as a child of God. If you would walk, if you would listen, if you would simply beg God by faith, trust Him, He will give you victory. Jesus, our Savior, went through it. Why? Pointed in all point, tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Why? That He might be the faithful high priest to help us in any trouble that we face. He knows what it's like, and He will help you.